The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. Well, here we are, the weekend before the election. And, you know, I haven't really preached on the election. I really haven't preached on politics much. I gave a homily back in September in which I basically said that we're going to have issues with whoever's elected and that God's really the only one who's going to eventually come and set everything straight. And I've gotten some slack from different people, even some parishioners, who have said, "Well, you know, we need to hear more from the pulpit about politics, and why don't we hear more about this?" And to which I've often responded two ways. Number one, if all they ever hear from the pulpit is about politics, then they're going to think that that's all the church cares about. And people can get turned off if they think that we're more concerned with politics than we are with the salvation of souls. And the other thing I often point out to those same people is, you know, as a Catholic preacher, I am not free to just get up and preach on whatever I want. I have to preach on the readings. I have to, if I want to preach on something, I have to somehow try to tie it into the readings. I'm not free to just pick the readings and then decide to preach on what I want. I have to expound upon the readings. Another complaint that I've received from some is, you know, how come the church doesn't just come out and tell us who to vote for? We all know what they're thinking, right? Why doesn't the church just come out and just tell us who to vote for? And I respond to that as well. Number one, it's not the church's place to do that. And some people say, "Oh, you're scared of losing your tax-exempt status." I say, well, there is that to consider. That is an important factor. But even that whole issue aside, even the whole tax-exempt issue aside, it's simply not our role as a church to tell people how to vote for a candidate. Now, we will tell you how to vote for specific issues, as we have been. Like, for instance, you'll receive a packet on the way out of some of our flyers, and you've been receiving these packets already. We've been telling you to vote for the DREAM Act to allow some educational assistance for illegal immigrants. And we've been telling you to vote against the redefinition of marriage. So we're fine telling you how to vote on a specific issue, but when it comes to candidates with whom there are so many issues, you know, it's not the place of the church to tell you who to vote for. And even if I were to come out and tell you who I thought was the best candidate, and by the way, I'm certainly more than happy if anyone ever wanted to know who John Ruderman is voting for, I would be happy to tell you, and I'd be happy to defend my reasoning in a civil conversation, but I'm certainly not going to do it from the pulpit, where the impression could be easily given that I'm speaking on behalf of the church. But even if there were a situation in which one candidate were drastically better than the other, and I'm not necessarily saying that this particular election is one of them, but even if there were a situation like that, and even if I could tell you from the pulpit who to vote for, and even if you went and did it and voted for that person because I said so, that really wouldn't be to your credit. You would just be doing what you were told. And that's not the point of the church. The church's job is to form consciences. The church is uniquely qualified. Uniquely qualified. No one else is qualified. No one else is enabled to form consciences. The church is the only one who has that authority, that power to help form consciences. But at the end of the day, you still have to vote according to your conscience. I can't tell you who to vote for. If your conscience tells you that one candidate is better than the other, well, you have to follow your conscience. Now, you also have an obligation to form your conscience. You have an obligation to be open to the teaching of the church, who, again, is uniquely qualified to help you form your conscience. But again, that does never mean that the church, or me as her minister, is going to tell you who to vote for. It's not our role. It's our role to help form consciences. And so let's do that today. Let's do a little bit of that right now with these readings. Because like I said, I have an obligation to preach on the readings. And these readings are very providential, especially with the election coming up. In that first reading, Moses said to the people, "Fear the Lord your God and keep his statutes and commandments which I enjoin on you today." He says to keep all of them. He says, if you do this, you will have a long life and prosper. Keep all of the commandments on which I enjoin you today. Moses is not saying that some you can just ignore. Moses is making it clear that, no, you have to keep all of the commandments. And this was a tall order because in the Old Testament, and in fact, even in just the first five books of the Old Testament, which is often called the Law, the Torah, there are 613 commandments. If you actually add them all up, they add up to 613. And so imagine what Moses is saying when he says all his statutes and commandments. Right from the first reading, there's that word all. Keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments which I enjoin on you. So Moses is not saying you can ignore some of them. Moses is saying you must keep all of them. And that means such things as helping out the illegal immigrant, helping out people who are in need, helping to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. It means protecting unborn life in the womb. It means upholding marriage. It means all of these things. Moses does not say some are not important and that you can break some. Moses says keep all of them. But now let's fast forward to the gospel. Because in the gospel, one of the scribes comes forward and asks our Lord, which is the first? Which is the most important? And our Lord responds with the very famous Shema. That's the word in Hebrew for hear. It's any Jewish person could usually recite the Shema. And our Lord recites it here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Our Lord doesn't say any of those 613 are not important or can simply be dispensed with. But what our Lord does say is that that is the most important. He prioritizes the commandments. He says that that is the most important. And then he follows it up very quickly and he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on, there is no other commandment greater than these. So here we have our Lord prioritizing the commandments. He doesn't get rid of any of them. He doesn't say that some don't matter anymore. But he does say that some are certainly more important than others. And he tries to summarize them in this response to this scribe by saying, first and foremost, you need to love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself, secondly. And I think this should tell us something as Catholics, that we too are not free to simply dispense with some of the commandments that God has given us. We must observe all of them. But we also must realize that there is a priority to them, that some are more important than others. And this is where the church's role in forming consciences, I think, plays an important part. You know, if you look through some of these Catholic voter guides that the diocese publishes, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing them, because they are helpful in helping us to see where candidates lie on varying issues. But some people would take the approach of looking at that and just adding it up and saying, well, candidate X supports 10 of the issues that we like, and candidate Y supports 11, so I guess I better vote for candidate Y because he has 11 and he has 10. Well, but that would be treating all of them as if they're all equal, as if they all matter the same, which they don't. So again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm bashing those Catholic voter guides. Again, they can be very helpful. But we can't approach it that way. We can't just treat them all the same. Our Lord did not treat them all the same. Our Lord was ready and willing to prioritize the commandments and to say that some are more important than others. Here is a perfect example, and this is just one of many that could be used. You know, the church is teaching against abortion. Some people will say, you know, well, we need to do all these other things. And I say, yes, it's true. We need to support education. We need to support housing. We need to support transportation. We need to support all of those things. But how can we talk about any of those things if we're not first ready and willing to defend life in the womb? How can we talk about educating people if we're killing them in the womb? How can we talk about protecting those of them who are here illegally if we're killing them in the womb? How can we talk about better health care for them if we're killing them in the womb? So there's a perfect example of prioritization of issues. Abortion, obviously, is a much higher issue, having much more importance than other issues. Does it mean those other issues somehow don't matter? No. Those other issues certainly still matter, but we need to prioritize. We need to say, how can I even talk about defending the rights of the illegal immigrant? How can I even talk about making education better? How can I even talk about jobs? How can I even talk about any other quality of life issue if I'm not willing to first talk about the very first and most important quality of life issue, namely surviving the womb? Right? And there are other issues like that. This is just one example. But it's important for us to realize that all issues are not the same. All commandments do not have equal value. Our Lord demonstrated that in the gospel today, but he also made it clear that we do have to observe them all. And so then we come up with a quandary, because then the issue is, well, some politicians support some of these issues and some politicians support others, and how do I decide? And again, that's on you. That's on you to follow your conscience. But it's also on you to form your conscience. You are obliged to follow your conscience, but you are equally obliged to form your conscience and to be open to the one institution that has been divinely authorized and divinely qualified to help form consciences, which is the church. So we need to be ready and willing to really engage the church teaching and to be open to the church's message that some issues are more important than others. And I need to be willing to really sit down and grapple with those issues in my head. And once I've done that, I need to vote accordingly. I need to vote according to that conscience. So as we prepare for Election Day, and I know many of you already have voted, so maybe the point is moot, but for those of you who have not yet voted, I would encourage you, again, you know, look over the materials we give you, look over those voter guides, but don't take the approach of just adding up numbers of issues and saying, well, one candidate agrees with us on more issues than the other, so I'm going to vote for that candidate. Realize that all issues are not equal. And really ask yourself, which issues are the most important? Which issues are really at the center of our lives as Catholics, as Christians, as human beings? And then allow that to form your conscience, and then do vote according to that conscience. And remember what I said, that homily I gave a few months ago, that at the end of the day, whoever is elected, church is still going to have issues with them. No candidate is perfectly where we would want them as a church. But let's pray. Let's pray for the election. Let's pray for the candidates themselves, and let's begin praying now for those who will be elected, that they too may always be open to the authority of the church to teach and to form consciences.